You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week 4 of our series, Holy Habits, Small Disciplines, Big Results. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Jonathan Maley with today's message.
I have the privilege of bringing week 4 of our series, Holy Habits. And to begin, I want to take us back to fifth grade. How many of you remember fifth grade? Okay, some of you, yes, some of you, they're like, I'm in fifth grade, right? I was in fifth grade last year. I'm in fifth grade right now. Well, for me, it was a little bit ago. For some of you, it was a long time ago. And to maybe give you a memory, like, this might have been the hairstyle for you back in fifth grade. Classy. Or maybe, how many of you remember those lunges, right? I hope they still don't look like this, but does that ring a bell to anybody? That I did not realize the whole world had the same exact lunch that I did growing up in the fifth grade. Or how about the smelly markers? Does anybody remember these scented? Yeah, oh man, we spent the whole class just sniffing the different smells, you know. I'm sure it did some brain damage for all of us. Well, back in the day when I was in fifth grade, I had a defining moment. You know, just a little history on me is I've been a Christian, somebody who's been following Jesus since I was a really young pup, you know, since I was a young guy, and I wanted to do a good job of representing Jesus to my class and to the world. And then I had this moment where we go out to recess and we started playing a game called soccer. Any soccer fans in the house? Yeah. Well, we were more of a football crew and soccer was a little foreign, but we were trying to play soccer, and all of a sudden this soccer game, fifth grade soccer game, turned into what I would say is WWE, rugby, and soccer all in the same thing. That was, if you want a picture of what was happening, this is what was going down. People started tripping each other. We started tackling each other, throwing each other's face in the ground, and it was awesome. I mean, this is what recess was all about. And then after the game, I go to class, and I was a fifth grade mentor to the kindergarten class. You know, I was a good kid. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having my conversation with, you know, the kindergarten, like, mentee that I had, and all of a sudden, I hear this. The kindergarten teacher goes to the door, and it's Mr. Wywood, the principal. And Mr. Wywood, he points at me. My soul left my body. And he does this. This has never happened in my life. I'm like, bye, kids. I will never see you again. Be good, kids. I walk outside the door. Yes, Mr. Wywood. Mr. Wywood looks at me and says, Jonathan, were you a part of that soccer game outside? And like a good Christian kid, I looked at him and said, what soccer game? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, the soccer game where people started punching and pushing and throwing each other on the ground. Doesn't ring a bell. I don't know what you're talking about. I had one fatal flaw. He looks at me and says, well, then what happened to your jeans? I looked down. I had more jeans missing than what was still there. More of my skin was showing than covered up, filled with mud and grass stains. And I looked at him as a good Christian kid, and I said, I have no idea what happened. I must have slipped. And then the worst thing he could have ever said happened in this moment that I still remember to this day. He looks at me in the eyes and he says, okay, I believe you. And he walks away. Oh, man. And all of a sudden, I'm going to the next recess class, and I walk past the other class where all the other quote-unquote bad kids were, and they're all looking at me. And I'm walking out, and here's the thing is, I thought I lied my way into freedom, the ability to go to recess when everybody else had to stay inside, but actually, I lied myself into a prison of guilt, shame, and I broke trust in one moment with my classmates that I had spent my entire little life trying to earn. Gone. And I'm curious, Has this ever been you? Have you ever decided to not tell the truth? Instead, you decided to lie. And maybe that was back in fifth grade, or maybe it was in the past year or 2 years where you lied or hid something from your spouse. Or maybe when it comes to your business, you decided to fudge the numbers just a little bit to gain a new client. Or maybe you used somebody else's homework and said it was yours and you turned it in. Or maybe on a smaller thing, maybe you just exaggerated your resume a little bit, saying loads of Photoshop experience, very good when it comes to creative arts. And the reality is the only thing you've ever done is Microsoft Paint. By a show of hands, how many of you have said a lie in the last week? If you're not raising your hands, the stats would indicate that you are lying right now. In fact, if we know about the stats, I did some studying on lying. It was a little painful. You are not going to leave here trusting a single soul, including yourself. But this is what I found, is that even honest people lie 0 to 2 times a day. But catch this, this gets a lot deeper and a little bit more scary. As I was researching, it says strangers lie on the average of 3 times in the first 10 minutes of meeting each other. 81% of people have lied about themselves in a job interview. 93% of people report dishonestly at work or in school. 28% of people would lie to keep their jobs if they were in danger of losing them. 43% of people have hidden credit card debt that their spouse doesn't know about. 79% of lies are told face to face, and 21% were meditated. I'm not sure the difference between that and premeditated, but that's what the stats said. Turns out, lying is as natural to people as is breathing, and it's a problem. And we could go, and I studied this for a while, and the reality is it's too much to go into the full depths of the why of lying. But when I started studying why do we lie, the number one reason we lie is to avoid people. That I thought that was funny. You're like, hey, you guys want to come over to my house today? You're like, oh man, I'm super sick. I'm sorry, I can't go. Well, it turns out the number one lie that we often tell is to avoid people, but there's other reasons we lie, and it's to avoid being embarrassed. It's to avoid shame. Other reasons that we lie is we think that we're going to gain, whether social status or financially or relationally or emotionally. But lying is tricky, because lying in itself is very deceptive. Lies lie to you about what it will do in your life. You see, lying, like all sin, will take you further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And as I'm talking on week 4 of these holy habits, as we're studying small disciplines that will make a big impact, my hope is to encourage, inspire, and challenge us to conscientiously, to very clearly make a discipline for telling the truth, that we would have the holy habit to tell the truth. My hope is that we would be people who tell the truth, even when it's hard, when it's embarrassing, when it comes at a cost, when it keeps you from the promotion, when it keeps you fill in the blank. We want to be people who are known to tell the truth. Now today, it'd be very easy for me, and maybe you're hoping for this, that I'll say, stop lying, tell the truth, mic done, all right, have a good day, enjoy the rest of, And it could be as simple as that. Say, hey, we're not supposed to lie. I think intuitively, most people know I'm not supposed to lie. I'm supposed to tell the truth. But the reality is I want us to go a little bit further to explain the seriousness of what happens when we lie. Because if we don't understand how dangerous it is, we will be tempted to go back to it. And so three reasons why lying is harmful is this. Number one is lying puts me at odds with others. There's something about lying, even if it's a small lie, that when it's exposed, what it does to the other person is something that very few other things do. It makes that person feel vulnerable, makes that person feel betrayed. It brings a flurry of different emotions. It breaks and shatters trust. And even if there's been a foundation of trust built over time, one lie can make it all go crumbling down. When you find that there's a lie in a relationship, it signals this leg within us that we hold on to that says, I don't know if I can ever fully trust you again. It impacts the relationship. It puts at us with odds with others. And something I learned from Pastor Andy Stanley, he says, let's say that you're lying and you get away with it. The reality is you don't actually get away with it because you know that you're lying. And when we lie, and we're the ones that get away with it, subconsciously, we start interacting with that person in a different way. And they may not fully know of what's going on, but they're gonna sense that something is off. When we lie, it puts us at odds with others. Second thing is lying puts me at odds with myself. And this has a variety of layers to it. The first is the person that we often lie to the most is who? Ourselves. A lot of times we lie to ourselves about our motives and our ambitions. We often lie about different issues that we have in our lives. Again, Andy Stanley, he said something I thought was interesting. He talked about a study. He says, the most common lies people tell themselves is how much that we eat, drink, and exercise. I didn't eat too much. I didn't drink too much. And I definitely exercised a lot this week. You know, when we lie to ourselves about what's really going on, we'll never address what's really going on, and it actually puts at us at odds with ourselves. But then there's something else I think that happens is when we lie, and sometimes it's when we cover a mistake, not only are you then dealing with the mistake, but when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see a mistaker and a liar. When we lie, we actually are at odds with ourselves. The third thing is that lying puts us at odds with God. It's important that we know how God feels about lying. And let's just say God is not a fan of lying. Proverbs 12:22 says this, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Now, the Hebrew word for detest, I believe it's pronounced toabat. But what that means is this, is it means disgusting. It makes God sick. When we lie, we make God disgusted with lying. But what does it say? He delights in those who tell the truth. Another reason it puts us at odds with God is if you think about this. When Jesus describes the devil, what does he say? John 8:44 says this. John 8:44 says, he has always hated the truth. Speaking about the devil, he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. Other translations says it is his native language. It's his native tongue. Lying is the native language, the native tongue of the devil. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And this is painful to say, but when you and I lie, we're actually modeling the character of the devil himself. And when we lie, we lose credibility with our faith. As people that, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus and you want to help other people become followers of Jesus, here's the deal. I really believe this. People understand we're all people. And most people understand that everybody makes mistakes. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not a follower of Jesus, we all make mistakes. I think, though, we really damage people's trust in us when it comes to our faith when we try to lie or cover up our mistakes. It's often when we try to hide and we pretend that we don't have anything going on, and then all of a sudden it is revealed. That is when we lose our credibility and trust when it comes to our faith. Now, as we're thinking about these different layers and these different elements, I want to go to a quick story of a man named David who's in the Bible. Has anybody ever heard about David? Yeah, okay, some of you, like, looks like five hands, so five of you know about David, it turns out. If you don't know the story of David, David was a nobody turned king. Little shepherd boy who fended off some bear and lions, who all of a sudden has the opportunity to defend Israel, and it was David versus, oh, more of you know it than I thought. Okay, David versus Goliath, and David's the man. He's this young boy who has courage, this young boy who has integrity, and he becomes a great king. He becomes a king who loves people, who trusts God, who loves God, who does the right thing. And we see Israel doing well underneath his kingship. But then there's a problem that happens in David's story. And if you want to read about it, I encourage you to read about it. I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit about it today. It's found in 2 Samuel 11. This would be a great thing to read through. And when we open up to 2 Samuel 11, we see that this was a time of war, and it says, while other kings would have been out to war, David stayed back. Indication number one of, like, oh, something's not going right. The next thing we start reading about is David saw a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. And he calls out to one of his messengers and said, hey, go figure out who that woman is. And as I tell this story, I want you to think about, imagine if you were the messenger. Imagine if that was your vantage point in this story. So you go out and you find, oh, her name's Bathsheba, and she's the wife of Uriah, who's a soldier who's out at war. Then King David, this man who loves God, who is a hero, he says, what? Go and bring her to me. And David sleeps with Bathsheba. It says that he slept with her. I think something more than sleeping took place, though, because Bathsheba becomes pregnant. And after Bathsheba becomes pregnant and David finds out that, oh no, Bathsheba's become pregnant, what am I going to do? What does David do? He calls for Uriah. Bring him off the lines. Bring him back from war. And what does he do? Hey, Uriah, you tell me how the war is going. Yeah. Is it going good? You doing good? You know, I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job. You get a big gift at the end of today, and you get to go home and be with your wife. What is David trying to do? He's trying to cover up his mistake. He's not being honest about the situation. And his hope is that Uriah would go home and sleep with Bathsheba, and therefore when Bathsheba has a baby, it's Uriah's baby, right? What happens? Turns out Uriah is a man of deep character. Says that Uriah did not go home, but he slept at the front of the palace gates. So David goes, hey, bring him back. Uriah, buddy, why didn't you go home, you know? And he goes, if the other men are at war, if they can't be with their wife, then I can't. I'm not okay with going and being with my wife. So I'm going to stay here. Here's a man having the integrity that David lacked. So what does David do? Gets Uriah drunk. Says, all right, go on home, buddy. Didn't work again. So then what did David do? And what David does is so horrendous. If it wasn't written down, if knowing the character of David in the past, you would never believe David would do something like this. Calls in one of the leaders of the army and says, I want you to put Uriah at the very front lines. And once you get to where their strongest soldiers are, I want you to pull your military back. And that's exactly what happens. Uriah goes to battle. The army pulls back. And Uriah is killed. All in trying to cover up, to hide, to lie, to cover up this mistake that David made. You see, lying will take you further than you want to go and will cost you more than you want to pay. And if you follow the rest of the story, God sends a prophet. And the prophet does this whole sequence of stories, and he eventually calls David out for exactly what he did. And we see this response within David, where David, he gets down and he repents. He says, I'm so sorry. It hit him what he had done. And as we read on, we find that God forgives King David, and David is still known as a man after God's own heart. However, even though the truth came out and even though David was forgiven, he also had significant consequences for his actions. But again, I want you to think of yourself as a messenger. Think about watching this play out. What would your respect for King David be? My guess is that he would have lost it all in a moment. After being this great king, it was one moment, big mistake. And then what did he do? Covered it up. Lying puts us at odds with each other. Lying puts us at odds with ourselves. Imagine, I don't know, it doesn't say, what was David thinking? What was David processing? How was he justifying his behaviors? Well, every king does this. I don't know. Imagine David, after doing all that, looking himself in the mirror. Lying puts us at odds with ourselves. And then lastly, lying puts us at odds with God. God had given David favor. God had given him blessing after blessing after blessing because of David's trustworthiness. And in a moment, it all falls because of a mistake. And then hiding it. Lying takes us further than we want to go and costs us more than we want to pay. And while this is an extreme example of lying, the reality is when we lie, the same kind of things happen in our life. It puts us at odds with others, puts us at odds with ourselves, and puts us at odds with God. And that is why I want to give us the challenge to be people who have a holy habit of telling the truth, that we would be people who tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when it's hard and when it comes at a cost. Jesus says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You see, with lying comes a prison. It might feel like freedom because you're getting away with something, but the reality is you get prison with lying. But with truth, we get freedom. And when we decide to be people of truth, this is what happens. Telling the truth with others, what does it do? It builds trust. When we decide to tell the truth, even when it's painful, even when it's hard, even when it breaks promotions, even when fill in the blank, it builds trust. And sometimes telling the truth will come with temporary pain, but it will give you long-term foundation, something to be built on. And I wanna make a quick little side note. Some people are like, oh yeah, I'm all about this, telling the truth. I'm all about being brutally honest. Somebody told me once, I think I was the one who was like, I'm gonna be brutally honest about this. They said, how about you just be honest and take out the brutal? Like, that's very fair. Like, we can be honest people that have tact. We can tell the truth, but it doesn't have to be in a brutal way. Let's be people that tell the truth because it builds trust. The other day, I was driving to my buddy Dave's house. And it was Dave's birthday the day prior, and I forgot to send him a text. By the way, please don't turn me in, and please don't give me a speech. I know this is bad. I'm just going to confess something right now. As I'm driving to Dave's house, I was in a spot where there wasn't a lot of traffic, and there's a stop sign coming up, and I pull out my phone. I send him this really thoughtful text about happy birthday. This is who you are. You're the man. And I show up to Dave's house, and he goes, did you text that while you were driving? He didn't say anything about how nice I was. Did you text that while you were driving? And the first thing, this just happened, the first thing that came out of my mouth was this, no. And then I thought to myself, you just lied. You can't lie. So then I thought, I was at a stop sign. I was at a stop sign and I just, you know, sent a quick text, happy birthday, I mean, you're the man, happy birthday, and that was it, and I left. Next 2 days, I was in a prison of, I didn't fully tell the truth. And I started arguing with myself, like, well, he doesn't really need to know that. It's not that big of a deal. Like, I mean, what's the difference between coming to a stop sign and being at a stop sign? Am I right? Like, let it go. But then I had this realization. It's like, I need to be a person that tells the truth, period. And in the small things. And so I shot Dave a text. Dave, can you please, not urgent, give me a call when you have a second. And he gives me, you know, a ring. I'm like, ring, ring, ring. What's up, Dave? Hey, I want to tell you the time that I told you that I didn't text you at first, and then I said, actually, I did a stop sign. The reality is, I didn't tell you the truth. And I told him what had really happened. And that was awkward. And it was really uncomfortable. But what I wasn't expecting is that by telling the truth in that really uncomfortable, and you could even say minor situation, Dave said, that actually built trust with me. I want us to be people that tell the truth even in the small things. Telling the truth gives you freedom and it gives you a sense of self-respect. You see, when you don't have to cover any lies, you're free. And even when you make a mistake, you can at least look at yourself and say, you know what? I might have made a mistake, but at least I told the truth. Telling the truth gives you favor with God. God delights in those who tell the truth. And in Luke 16:10, it says this, if you are faithful with the little things, you will be faithful in the larger ones. But if you're dishonest with little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. I believe God wants to trust people who are honest with the small and the all. God wants to bless those who are honest. So as we get ready to close today, I want us to be people, as I've said 1,000 times, who tell the truth, period. I want you to have the freedom that you can experience in your life when you tell the truth. I want you to have stable, healthy relationships that are built on a foundation of telling the truth. I want God to be able to trust us with things because he knows that we're gonna be people of truth. And today, as we close, I just want to just say, I know that it's likely that there's many of you, there's been a lie that's going on in your life. Could deal with a relationship, it could deal with finances, it could be something that you said to your parents, it could be something at work. And I want to tell you, the same thing that was true for David is also true for you and me. That he is ready and faithful to forgive you. There is no mistake beyond God's grace and forgiveness. God wants to bring healing and freedom in your life. Now, it might come with some consequences, but I promise you, God will walk alongside you. And as a church, we would like to walk alongside you as well. But I want you to be free, and I want you to experience the healing that truth can bring. So I'm gonna pray in a moment. And if that's you, I'm just gonna pray for you. And we also are gonna have a prayer team at the end that would love to pray for you as well. So would you just bow your head and pray with me? God, first of all, help us to be people who have a habit of telling the truth. Give us the strength, give us the discipline to tell us to tell the truth when it's hard and when it's small and when it's large. And God, for the people out there who have this lie in this life, God, first of all, we ask that they would know, that they would sense your love for them, your desire to forgive them, and your desire to walk with them in healing. God, we pray that you would give them the strength to make things right, and that you would give them freedom. So God, we just ask for that, and we just pray for your help in all of this. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.